Turn over at this time to Psalm 116. As we continue in what's sometimes called the Great Hallel, other times called the Jerusalem Hallel or the Passover Hallel. Psalms 113 through 118. The Holy Spirit moved someone to write, "I love Jehovah because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of Jehovah. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of Jehovah. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem." If we think upon this psalm, I want us to note, once again, there's no name here. No name here. We have no idea who, in an earthly sense, wrote it, why, when, how, any of those things. Except that we know whoever it was that wrote it, whenever it was, in whatever circumstances, this writer was moved by the Holy Spirit. So that what we have here is not only the words that this writer took with pen and ink and set to parchment, they are words of God. And therefore, since they are breathed out by God, they are profitable or useful for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Now then, because they do not have anything to do with a particular situation, we have no difficulty, not even one little bit of difficulty in applying this to all the Church of Jesus Christ. Any Christian can come to these words and find help and find solace and find encouragement. We're all in trouble and in difficulty at some time or another, like apparently the psalmist was. We're all in times of affliction. It may be physical affliction, you know, where there is weakness and there is pain. It may be affliction of a different sort with, say, loneliness or discouragement, any number of afflictions that way. And it can be that which a person who's not even a believer has, who by God's kindness is coming to an awakening, of being aware of and convicted of sin, and they feel these bonds of death. And they feel Sheol's terrors. It can even apply to Christians in weak circumstances spiritually who fear that maybe they've never had saving faith. There are promises abounding here. There is solace here that is wonderful for every person, particularly for believers. Now then, this is the case because of a couple of reasons. Number one, It was written by Him who has created us. So He knows our hearts, He knows our needs, and He knows to deal with them. He knows us through and through in a way that we don't know each other, in a way that we don't even know ourselves. And so the words here that are given to us are just exactly what we need when we are in trial and affliction, like so many of the Psalms are. But a second point I want to make is this, that we could have none of this. We could have none of it at all were it not for the eternal counsel of the triune God to save many. We would have none of this had not the Father determined love upon a great number that no man can count, and determined that they would be saved while He remained just, through giving His only begotten Son to come to live, well, to be born, to live, to die, to be raised again, and then ascend into heaven for the sake of His people, which is exactly what the Lord Jesus did, and willingly. And then all this would be for naught but for the Spirit and the same counsel being appointed and sent by the Father and the Son to apply the saving work of Jesus Christ to the elect heart. So it is, friends, that it is because of Jesus that all these things are solace, help, encouragement for the believer. For ultimately, this psalm does not speak of the psalmist. Ultimately, it does not speak of the believer. It speaks ultimately of the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you not see Him here in agony upon the cross? Can you not see Him there crying out to God? Yes, using words from Psalm 22. Yes, when His work was completed, using words from Psalm 31. But do you not see Him here on the cross, undergoing that which His people, His bride, deserve, undergoing that curse and that death and that separation from His Father? And can you not see Him crying out and hearing His cries answered? Can you not hear Him triumphantly saying those words from Psalm 31, "Into your hand I commend my spirit"? And then, can you not see Him raised victoriously from the grave, having atoned to the uttermost for the sin of His people, having taken the entirety of the curse upon Himself? Why, He is raised, and with Him His people are raised as well. Yes, He is here in this psalm. And when we sing it, or any portion of it, we're singing of Jesus. And we are singing His very thoughts. Let us rejoice that because of what He has done for us, this psalm is not only, though primarily, about Jesus. It is for us. And all that we have in Jesus is solace, is hope, is encouragement indeed. We often sing this at the time of communion. Well, that always do, a portion of it. And we do so because of that, because of our Lord Jesus' broken body and shed blood. We have this fellowship with the Father. We have hope instead of despair. We have solace instead of discouragement. And we have all good things in Jesus Christ. But we're going to sing from the first portion of this, Psalm 116a, at this time. As we do so, as you do so, see Jesus there and take encouragement. Find solace. Be helped by it. Psalm 116a.